Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't come in person, you could always join our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the live stream, worship with us, chat with us, offer up prayers. If you need a prayer request, go to our website and click on the prayer request. We've been in the book of Daniel. We're doing a series called God With Us. We welcome you to this week's message from the Seed Christian Fellowship. Here at the Seed, it's our hope and prayer that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Know, grow, go. And then sow seeds of faith in your corner of the world. That's what we're doing today. We're sowing a seed of faith. We've all been through the ringer during this last few years, haven't we? We have divided political climate here around the world, and we have so much tension. We have wars and rumors of wars. People are battling viruses, fearing an infection, fighting despair, struggling financially, and many of us are just plain lonely and isolated. We have had lockdowns, stay-at-home orders, mask mandates, closed churches, businesses, and schools. Our lives have been turned upside down. We need to find hope. We need to learn how to stand in our faith during these tumultuous times. The Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart that it's time to do a little sermon series on the big stories of the Bible. I've titled the series, God With Us. Last week, if you listened to the program, you can always go to the website at the radio station and click on the icon for the Seed and listen to them. God With Us. Last week, we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. We learned that they were faithful, fearless, and fruitful. I have had some good feedback from several people who texted or called to say, God with me, got me through a hard time this week. Today, we're going to look at a story in the Bible that many scholars believe is the most well-known story in the Old Testament, Daniel in the lion's den. Maybe many of us feel a little like Daniel. We've been thrown into a lion's den. A stone had been rolled in front of the entrance, and we can not escape. It's my hope that as we go through this series, we all come to know that God is with us. Do you believe those three little words? God with us. How do those three words affect your life? Go ahead and make it personal. God with me. I am convinced of one thing, that as we face all the trials and tribulations of the world, we need to know that God is with us as we walk slowly through these trials and tribulations and fear and anxiety that has overwhelmed so many. Do you believe those three words? God with us. How do those three words affect your life? Make it personal. God with me. Before we turn to God's word, let us come before the throne of grace in a time of prayer. Lord God of all power and grace, shine your light and love into our hearts as we open your living word, as we read and hear your words of light and life. Help us to know that you are with us. As we face the fiery furnace and the lion's den in our lives on earth, be the fourth man in the fire with us. Be the angel who shuts the lion's mouth. More than ever, Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know you are with us. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 6. Let's jump in right to the word. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor neglect. Verse 5, finally these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, the prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repelled." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. Then these three men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about the royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repelled." And they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decrees you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issued can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. And at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I have found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus of Persia. Well, over the past few weeks, I have learned a little bit about Daniel. Daniel has three good friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken captive from Israel as teenagers and brought to Babylon. Daniel served under four different kings of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. When we read this story in chapter 6, what we just read, Daniel is in his 80s. He had been serving the kings and interpreting dreams for 60 years. During this time in captivity, Daniel remained faithful to his God. King Darius now appoints Daniel to be one of his three administrators over his kingdom. The king has plans to set old Daniel over the whole kingdom. Have you ever thought about this line in Daniel 6? King Darius plans to set Daniel over his whole kingdom. Well, this past week, I thought a lot about it. How does someone get to this place in life? That's a good question. Where the king wants to put you in charge of his kingdom? I don't know about you, but I believe it was because of Daniel's faith. In our story, we hear that Daniel is willing to have faith when the new order even is placed. All people should not pray to any other god, yet he still has faith. All people are to only pray to the king, and if the edict is violated, you'll be thrown into the lion's den. What I glean from this story is that Daniel's co-workers were jealous and envious of Daniel. They know they will not ever find any corruption in Daniel. A plan is concocted for Daniel to fail, and the edict, Daniel goes home like he always does, opens his window like he always does, and begins to pray to the God of Jerusalem like he always does. We're told right here in Daniel 6 that three times each day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed. Daniel gave thanks to God. There was no edict for Daniel that could stop him from praying to God. Listen again to Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. I like those words. Just as he had done before. This is a pattern for Daniel. Maybe a good so what? What is your pattern with God? The outside world may have been changing, but God had not changed, and Daniel was not going to allow his relationship to God to change regardless of the shifting circumstances. What about you? Is your outside world changing? Are there shifting circumstances? Wow. Our world has changed. Our circumstances have changed. But what about you? Has your God changed? Or have you remained faithful to God? No matter whether you go to church or worship from home, what would be your response if the government issued the same sort of decree today? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We're doing a series, God with Us, and my prayer is that you'll know that God is with you. And I'm talking about if the outside world is changing, will your faith change? Daniel's outside world was changing, but his faith in God never changed. Daniel knew that no matter what, his God would be with him. He had heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He knew the stories of deliverance of his people. He knew about the former slavery in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, manna from heaven, the cloud by day and the fire by night to guide his ancestors. His circumstances may have been changing, but his God remained the same. Daniel did what he always has done, and then he was confronted by his enemies. Surrender, stop praying to this God and pray to King Darius alone. A man by the name, person by the name of Nadine Corey was 13 years old, 5'2" and weighed soaking wet, probably 100 pounds. His attackers were teenagers larger than Nadine and outnumbered him 7-1. For 30 minutes, they hit, kicked, and beat him. He never stood a chance. Corey's mom had recently moved the family to Philadelphia from Minnesota. She had lost her job as a hotel maid and was looking for work. And in 2000, she had escaped the war-torn areas of Liberia. Nadine Corey then was the new kid in a rough neighborhood with a mom who was an unemployed immigrant. Everything a wolf pack of bullies needed to justify an attack. The hazing began weeks earlier. They picked on him. They called him his mother's names. They routinely pushed, shoved, and ambushed him. Then came the all-out assault on that January day. They dragged him through the snow, stuffed him into a tree, and suspended him on a 7-foot wrought iron fence. Corey survived the attack and would have likely faced more attacks except for the folly of one of the bullies. He had filmed the pile-on and posted it on YouTube. The passerby saw the violence and chased away the bullies. Lee saw it and got involved. The troublemakers landed in jail, and the story reached the papers. A staffer at a nationwide morning show called The View read the account and invited Corey to appear on the broadcast. He did. As the video of the assault played on the screen behind him, he tried to appear brave, but his lower lip quivered. Next time maybe it could be somebody smaller than me, he said. Unbeknownst to him, the producer had invited some other Philadelphians to appear on the show as well. As the YouTube video ended, the curtain opened and three huge men walked out, members of the Philadelphia Eagles football team. Corey, a rabid fan, turned and smiled. One was all-pro receiver DeSean Jackson. Jackson took a seat on the couch as close to the boy as possible and promised him, "Anytime you need us, I got two linemen right here." Corey's eyes widened saucer-like as Jackson signed a football jersey and handed it to him. Then, in full view of every bully in America, he gave the boy his cell phone number. From that day forward, Corey had been a phone call away from his personal bodyguards. Thugs think twice before they harass the kid who has NFL football players' numbers on speed dial. That's a pretty good offer. Who wouldn't want that type of protection? You know something? God gives us the very same promise. In fact, the writer of Hebrews quoted them in his epistle in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. "For God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Let me read it again. "For God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So I can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Did you hear that? The God of the entire view, the universe, says to you and me, God will never leave us or forsake us. But we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Do you have that kind of faith? Do you believe that God is your helper? Do you believe that no matter what comes your way, God will never leave you or forsake you? In 1940, Vincent and Margaret Froissart were missionaries in mainland China. They struggled against poverty and paganism in a remote village in order to tell others about Jesus. The work was very slow and difficult, but after much sacrifice, a small church was established. The church was no larger than a small Bible study. Right on the threshold of this small triumph for the kingdom of God, Satan began his work. The communist takeover of China during the Cultural Revolution forced all missionaries to leave China. The Crosats hated to leave. Their fledgling flock of believers hardly seemed ready to withstand the coming onslaught. An atheistic dictatorial government dedicated to wiping out all Christian influence was beginning to rule with ruthless power. How could this little church survive? From the world's perspective, there was nothing anyone could do. The church seemed destined to die, but Vincent and Margaret did not see through the world's eyes. They saw through the eyes of faith that their God was faithful to those who honor him. The Crosats were like a faithful family sedan. They continued to do their duty. Though the missionaries were chased out, their prayers were not. For nearly 40 years, the Crosats daily kept their prayer window open toward China. They dutifully prayed in faith that God would one day triumph over communism. The Crosats heard nothing of their Chinese friends for 40 years, but still they faithfully prayed for God to be victorious in the church they left behind. Finally, the walls of China have come down and the political climate changed. The nation was open to Western visitors. The Crosats returned to the village where they had left the tiny struggling group of believers. There was no small church in the village anymore. Instead, from the Bible study group that had grown a church of 4,000 people. This body of believers that planted a dozen of other churches as well, each with a membership of at least 1,000. All the Crosats did was pray, with their prayer window open to the focus of their prayer, China. The God of Daniel. Well, I think he's alive and well. Romans 8:28, do you know what it says? "And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love God." The Crosats knew their God, and they prayed in faith to the little church that they left behind. So what? Let's wrap this up. Let's bring it home, Pastor Dave. When Daniel was threatened with his life to conform to the new edict, he got down on his knees and prayed. He asked God to help him like God had helped him all of his life. Daniel had faith that his God could do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Imagine. Daniel knew that God was with him, God with me. In 2013, I came down with an infection of some kind in my body. It started in my left leg and spread to my right leg. This infection manifested itself in painful blisters and oozing sores. It wasn't just one or two sores. They were all over my chest and my back. Patches of skin were peeling like 8 inches long to 4 inches wide. Pretty soon the infection spread all over. I was sent to 14 different doctors of all kinds. This infection stayed with me for 4 years. It went to the inside of my body and the outside of my body, and none of the doctors knew what was wrong with me. My wife had gone to see a doctor in 2001. She had dropped a heavy piece of furniture on her foot. We were grasping at straws at this time. It was a horrible pain and sleeping on the recliner. Out of desperation, I agreed to go see Dr. Zimmerman. Dr. Z started treating me. His words, "This infection is trying to kill you. I will not send you to the hospital because I fear you would die there." He was afraid with all the open, oozing sores, I'd get something worse than what I already had. After 4 years of suffering, my wife started to have involuntary muscle twitches. She had suffered from mercury poison in 2005, and her doctor retested her, thinking the mercury was causing her muscle twitches. The test revealed severe lead poisoning. The doctor called me in and tested me. Both my wife and I were living in a home that was putting out lead particles. I had 10 times the lethal limit of lead in my body. I have to tell you that during those 4 years of battling the infection, I learned to be a man of prayer. I have been chelating for 3 years and am down to only 4 times the lethal limit. Chelation is no fun. It's like chemo. Between the last 7 years of oozing sores and chelation, I've learned to become a man of constant prayer. I learned to pray, "God with me." Sometimes that's all I can say, "God with me." My faith in God grew stronger day by day. I'm to the point where our doctor says one more chelation will put me to the legal limit. No matter what, I trust that God is with me. God has shut the mouth of lions I've been facing. God will do the same for you. In closing, Daniel did not conform to the pressures of the world, the king, or his friends. Instead of conforming, Daniel transformed his corner of the world. When Daniel came out of the lion's den after spending a night with the lions untouched, old King Darius passed an edict that all people should worship the God of Daniel. I love the wording of King Darius. This is what he said. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus in Persia. If you're taking notes, here you go. Here's 5 points. The living God endures forever. God with us. God's kingdom will not be destroyed. God with us. God's dominion will never end. God with us. God rescues and saves. God with us. God performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. God with us. Keep your faith in God. There's a fourth man in the fire with you. Keep your faith in God. There's an angel who will shut the mouths of the lions in your den. In the face of this trouble and trials and wars and tribulations and whatever you're facing, keep your faith. Our God is with us. Say it with me and make it personal. God with me. When times are hard this week, God with me. Think about Daniel. Think about being thrown into the lion's den for no good reason at all, except that your coworkers are jealous and envious of you. I always tell you to put yourself in the story. Well, do it. Here you are. You're thrown into the pit. You're sealed. You are there in the pit alone. My guess is that Daniel prayed and the angel came and shut the lion's mouth. So Daniel prospered. I'm praying that God will prosper you too. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, I give thanks for each person that listens. May you bless them abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you graciously each and every day. God bless. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.